I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
And John, we are back on a bright and sunny Saturday morning for me, afternoon for you. Snowmageddon has just hit us again, and I believe now it's moving in your direction.
Yeah, and then I just like looked on Facebook 2 minutes ago, and it seems like the totals are being backed off on a bit, but who knows where they will end up eventually. I'm fine not getting much, you know. I'm happy to not have to deal with the bad weather, so...
I saw there's a radio station here called 99.5 The Mountain, and they do like classic rock and different things. Mm-hmm. And I followed them a long time ago on Facebook. Mm. And so I still see stuff from them. I haven't actually listened to the radio in a really long time, but I still see little things that they post here and there. And they posted a story about some guy back east who hates shoveling snow. And he saw something online and did a little research, found out that it was legal in where he lives, and so he bought a flamethrower.
Oh.
And he uses the flamethrower to melt all the ice on his driveway. Hmm. And he says it's not for everybody, and don't be stupid. And you have to be very vigilant, and you know, when you're doing it, you have to wait like half an hour. You have to watch everything, make sure nothing, quote unquote, reignites. And they also in the story had a little bit from like the local city council and mayor and all the people going, well, yeah, it's legal, but we don't recommend people doing it.
I remember the flamethrower seemed like such an awesome weapon as a kid, and there was the one G.I. Joe guy, maybe his name was Blowtorch. That sounds about right. They're pretty on the nose with some of the code names and the G.I. Joe characters. But it always seemed like such a great weapon. I think in reality, it's pretty impractical to just like walk while other guys have M16s and you're just going to like walk out in the middle of the field with flamethrowers. I don't think it's a very practical weapon and kind of gruesome if you do actually use it on somebody. I think they were more of probably a Vietnam War era thing where they were just burning the jungle, like they were trying to clear paths. I don't think it was necessarily to be used as a weapon, perhaps. But anyway,
Works against xenomorphs. So.
Of course. Right. I wanted to bring up before I forgot, because on our last Just the Two of Us, we were talking about my new TV and HD movies and all that. And I had mentioned I bought the Lord of the Rings movies a couple of years ago. And I thought they were in standard def. I found out I actually bought them in HD. I didn't realize it. I think what I forget about with movies versus TV shows is that films are, they are filmed in a different format than what your TV is, right? It's like, it's wider. So I think I was looking at it in a way where it's like, I saw the black on the top and the bottom. And I thought like, oh, that's not right. But it's like, well, no, that's just because it's a film. It's not. But anyway, because of that, I ended up watching all three of the Lord of the Rings movies, not the Hobbit movies.
Sure.
First of all, boy, it's been quite a few years since I actually sat down and watched them all. And
now, but before you go too far, are these the theatrical versions or the extended versions?
Good question. They're all about 3 hours. So
I think that's theatrical.
Okay, that sounds about right. I don't recall there being anything wacky going on in there in terms of like stuff I don't remember seeing. Okay. So I think it's just the regular theatrical releases. And boy, they're good. Really hold up. You do see the special effects still look great, but it's dated. Those movies are over 15 years old now. Forget it's like 2002, 2003, and 2004, I think, that they came out in, or about that. The thought that I had is because I don't often, I tend to watch more TV series than movies. And the thought I had is that, boy, you take those three Game of Thrones movies, not Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings movies, 3+ hours each, what does that come out to? It's like a season's worth of a story. Can, you know, because we think about most of the shows we watch, many of them are 10-hour episodes.
Yeah.
Well, that's about what this comes in at. It's about 10 hours. And remember, they were all filmed at the same time. Like all of the principal photography, I'm sure they went back and did reshoots on them, but the principal photography were done right in a row. They didn't take a year break between them. They shot it as one continuous thing. And I'm sure they were working on special effects down to the last minute for each movie. But I'm not going to say it's a precursor and it's what led us to our current viewing habits, but it is interesting how if you watch it as if it was a season of a television show, how it's a fairly similar experience. Obviously they're not like wrapping things up at the 57 minute mark. It's one continuous thing, but I've watched it like I would have watched a season of TV. It's been like a week or a week and a half, and I've just put that on each night, pick up where I left off the night before. And I'm not quite done with the Turn of the King yet. I've got about an hour left of it. But interesting. I don't know if you ever thought about that movie in that way, or just movies in general as they compare to TV nowadays.
No, not necessarily in that particular frame of mind or direction that you're thinking of. I do know that Hollywood in particular, a lot of times feels that, just like with music, there is a sweet spot for length of a movie. And they balk at anything that's really long like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think about it, movies do that, music industry does that, and the book industry does that, right? They don't, you get these really, really huge long books and they're like, oh, we just can't do that. You know, people aren't going to read it for that long. And I think Brandon Sanderson specifically has proved that people will read.
Oh, sure.
You know, 1,200 pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, they took a big risk doing the Lord of the Rings movies.
But there was
like
no other
that.
Way they could do it.
Of
there
course.
There was no other way they could do it.
Yeah. Cause you heard stories that initially they were like, all right, we'll do the whole thing in one movie. Like it was like, do the whole story in one 2.5 hour movie. And Peter
you
Jackson
can't.
Was like, no,
I mean, you would cut out so much. And you always have, you have the you have the super fans who are always going to complain because, Fatty Bulger or Bulger was not in the movie.
Tom Bombadil, you mean?
No, Fatty Bulger.
I don't even know that. I don't even remember. I haven't read the books in years. I read the books right before I saw the movie. I should reread the books too. But.
Right. So there was the conspiracy within the Shire, right?
Okay.
It was Merry and Pippin and Fatty, I believe was his name, Fatty Bulger. And they're watching Frodo because they're afraid he's going to leave without telling anybody and he's going to be out there all on his own.
Mm.
And so there's like the conspiracy. So you've got stuff like, it's like, oh, you know, that it's not a true adaptation because such and such isn't in there. And yeah, because Tom Bombadil is not there, blah, blah, blah. And I always thought, especially with Tom Bombadil, Peter Jackson was very cool. He's like, well, just because you didn't see it on the screen doesn't mean it didn't happen.
And it's so good. I mean, when you consider those books and what he did with that movie, it's so well done. I mean, it's really, we're lucky to have that. If you're a fan of this kind of thing, we're so fortunate that those movies were made to the level that they were made. And now we have, now you can say whatever you want about The Hobbit. And I'd actually be curious to go back and watch those. I saw all those in the movies and I didn't think they were that great. But I'd be curious to sort of watch them at this point. Now, what I was struck with in watching these movies over the past week is some of the actors in it. And again, not having watched these in a while, but being familiar with some of these actors' work that they've done since then, and how many of those actors have had some pretty interesting careers since then. I was thinking of Carl Urban, who plays Éomer in it. Fairly small part in the movie, doesn't show up until the second movie. And, you know, it's not a huge role, an important one, but not a huge one. And I was thinking like, well, you know, Carl Urban, who I think was like a New Zealand actor that just got cast as a small role because they were filming in New Zealand, gone on. Bones in Star Trek. The Judge Dredd movie, that was really good. He was in Thor Ragnarok. So he's got some Marvel stuff going. And he's like, built a pretty nice career for himself. He had that show on Fox, too, that I liked. I forget what it was called. It was where it was him and an android, and he was like a cop and everything. That was, I thought he was good in that, too. But really good. And then, you know, I was thinking of Sean Astin, too. How he's not necessarily had like a consistent career, but you think like, but he's in a lot of what I bet a bunch of people would consider their favorite movies, because obviously he's in Lord of the Rings. He was in Goonies as a kid and was in Rudy. I know so many people that Rudy is their favorite movie of all time. So Sean Astin quietly put together quite a resume over the years. Now, again, you don't see him all the time. You know, he showed up in Stranger Things season 2, but it's interesting seeing where a lot of these folks have gone since then, and they have this movie tying a lot of their work together, and I don't know, I just it's great. Like, if you haven't watched them in a while, I've just been, in terms of, like, I picked Kings of the Wild last week, and I'm kind of back in on a sort of, well, not that I've ever left, but in on this sort of like traditional fantasy kind of setting. So I was like really primed to watch it, and boy, they hold up. They're really good. I really enjoy, I've been enjoying watching them.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. So Carl Urban, he did a pretty damn good DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
Impersonation for the Star Trek movies. Yes. I don't think he necessarily, you know, like made, Chris Pine did not, in my opinion, try to become William Shatner.
Good call on his part.
Yeah, that would have been ridiculous. And I don't feel like Zachary Quinto tried to become Leonard McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Or Leonard Nimoy. But I felt like Carl Urban did try to become DeForest Kelly a little bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
He kind of had that. And but it worked.
Yes, I was going to say, really it worked. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I had to join Starfleet because my ex-wife got the whole planet in the divorce. You know, and it's just, it was just hilarious. It was, and it worked well. And Sean Astin, I want to say, didn't people draw, like, the story that he tells the kid in Stranger Things 2, spoilers?
Yeah.
The story he tells about, like, himself, wasn't that tied to Lord of the Rings? Wasn't it like,
you know,
telling the story of Sam?
You know,
I feel like there was something like that.
Could totally be it, because the Stranger Things guys are pretty big pop culture fans, so they could have totally done that, and I just didn't pick up on it when I watched it. That's probably worth a rewatch as well. Interesting. Yeah, you mentioned the Star Trek. I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I've seen the recent movies, and I know people are kind of divided on them, but I really enjoyed those Star Trek movies and thought they were well cast. I really liked them. I actually watched, speaking of Chris Pine, Netflix has this movie, I think it's called The Outlaw King. I don't know if you watched that. Chris Pine is in it. It is the, if you liked Braveheart, this is essentially the story of Robert the Bruce after William Wallace dies. So it's sort of like a sequel to Braveheart, although not connected to, it's just the historical period that they're telling. But if you liked Braveheart, not a bad, you know, 2 hours of your life watching this movie. I enjoyed it. It's not the level of Braveheart in terms of like the budget and the fighting sequences and stuff. But, you know, if you enjoy like the Scottish accents and, you know, rebellion and such, it ain't bad. It's worth checking out. Watch the first 20 minutes of it. If you're bored as hell, then don't finish it. But I kind of enjoyed that. I don't know. Did you end up watching that one?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I do have it in my queue.
Yeah.
They've been, Netflix has been dumping a lot of
content. They sure have. They sure have.
And it seems like every time I log in, there's something new in that autoplay video thing at the top to show me. And it's just like a little bit overwhelming at this point. And it's funny because I read an article about Netflix problem with new content.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix and the the opinion of the writer was that Netflix has a problem with their new content in that they don't, unlike a traditional media, like television channel kind of thing, they really don't have commercials.
No.
On purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like if you go to CBS, you know that there is a Star Trek Discovery season 2 because they play the commercial every 15 GD minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you know what's going to happen on The Big Bang Theory because they're showing a commercial. You know all this stuff that just keeps happening. On Netflix, you don't really know until you log in.
Right.
That there's something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little bit of a problem for them. I'm seeing now more and more Netflix commercials on television.
Really? Well, I don't have television, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But yeah. So there are commercials now showing stuff. And what's interesting is my brother will always go, Netflix, I don't want to watch. You know, I don't care. I'm not going to watch that. If it's not on traditional television, he's not going to watch it. But for me, it's just interesting to see that Netflix commercial is now there because that... I think the writer is correct. They do have a little bit of a problem in getting the word out that there's something new.
Agreed. I forget which show I was listening to. It was one of Tom Merritt's shows, probably Cord Killers, but it could have been one of the other ones that I listen to regularly. He brought up a great point. I think it was Tom. It was someone on the show brought up a point about how what we're seeing now with television, and particularly with Netflix, is, you know, we complain like, oh, there's too much. And because it used to be everything was, you know, the water cooler show, you know, like everyone's got to watch Seinfeld so we could talk about it around the water cooler the next day. And that was kind of how TV was because there was such a limited space for TV. And now there's so much. And now we all complain that we don't have enough time to watch it all. But no one, people do, but it's different. No one complains that there are too many books written. Right? You just find the books that you want to read and you read them and you don't expect that everybody else is going to read those books. You find some people that may read them. But there's, as we know from talking to people, there's thousands and thousands of books published all the time. You just can't read them all. So you just try to find the ones that you may like the best. And Tom's point was that you can look at it, that's kind of where we're getting with television, where there's so much that you can't possibly keep up with it all. Even if you watch a ton of TV, there's just no way. So you just have to try to find what you want to watch. And that is a difficulty. That's a challenge. And that's something that they haven't figured out yet because I don't think they're doing a good job of letting people know what they have. Like, I'm sure there's shows on Netflix that I'd love that I've either not heard of, or maybe I saw it come up in a news feed or on my blog or something once or twice and thought like, oh, that might be interesting. And then I've never thought of it. And for whatever reason, their algorithm isn't showing it to me, even though I would probably like it, but maybe it's not enough like the stuff that I've already watched. So they just don't show it to me. It is interesting with Netflix. If you log in with somebody else's profile or somebody else's account, you'll be like, I didn't know they had this on there. Like there'll be all sorts of different movies and TV shows that pop up that you're like, that never pop up on yours for whatever reason. So it's what I'm starting to get better at is, you know, they always give this recommendation with reading too. It's like, if you're not digging a book, stop reading it. Don't waste your time when you could be reading something that you like. And I'm getting that way with TV too. I watched the first episode of season 3 of Man in the High Castle. And I liked the first 2 seasons of Man in the High Castle quite a bit. And I watched the first episode and I was of season 3 and I was like, this is good. This is a downer, man. This is a downer. And I was just like, I am not in the mood to spend the next 10 nights watching this downer of a show. Maybe I'll probably come back to it at some point. But that's not the way I usually am. Usually once I start something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish this season and then I'll move on. I'm like, you know what? I do not feel like being down and depressed and dark with all this. And maybe it becomes hopeful at some point, but I'm like, I'm going to watch Lord of the Rings instead. Like that's more where my head is at. I don't know if if that parallels your viewing habits these days.
Yeah, I mean, I regret watching season two of Jessica Jones when I did.
Okay.
Because it is such a depressing season.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already not in a great frame of mind at the time.
Right.
So that did not go well for
right.
me personally. Mm-hmm. So I do think that is something you have to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're looking at a show or you're looking at a book or something, if it's going to be a downer and you don't want to be down, don't go any further down that path. A lot of times I'm looking now for more uplifting things.
Yes. Me too.
Or something funny.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the last half of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Mm.
That's coming here in, well, as of this episode, it may already be here, or it may be here within days
mm-hmm.
when this episode drops. As we're recording, Punisher season 2 is now available.
Right, saw that.
And I had completely, I knew that was coming, but I'd forgotten when. And I logged in last night, and that was the video that was running
right
at the top. It's like, oh, watch the Punisher season 2 right now. And I stared at it for a second, and I'm like, do I want that right now? Is mm-hmm. my mood where I want to watch Frank Castle, you know,
yeah,
killing people?
Yeah.
Right now. And I decided, no, I don't want that right now. So I'm going to wait a little bit on that. So yeah, I do make those kinds of decisions.
And there's so much that there is definitely something that will suit your mood better. It's the great luxury of all of this stuff is that there's probably some real fun anime thing that maybe you can watch, or maybe you can yeah. watch a stand-up special or some comedy thing, or there's so much. But that's, again, the problem is then you got to dig around and find it, and so that is a little tricky. And like,
well,
I said, this
and I'll be honest with you, I was in the mood, I wanted something fun, and where my brain went was the first meeting of the Flash and Supergirl.
Okay,
so I went there. I went to season, was it one, of Supergirl, to the episode where Barry crosses over. And I watched that. And it's still hilarious and fun.
Yeah.
And a great episode.
Right.
And so I just watched that again and enjoyed myself.
Yeah. 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 It's so much that, yeah, you do have to dig around and find it a little bit. But yeah, there's always something good. So that I've been trying to do that, not to be so committed. I mean, that's a personality thing for me that has served me well with lots of things in my life, is, you know, whether it's practicing or what have you, it's like, no, I'm going to sit and do this and I'm going to stay focused and do it. But it's like, as we often always talk about with television, watch TV should be fun. It should be relaxing.
Yeah.
It should be what you want it to be. And I shouldn't, you know, commit to watching season 3 of Man in the High Castle because I've already put time into the first two seasons. Like, look, I'm sure that'll hit me one day and I'll be like, now's the time to watch that, and I'll enjoy it, and it'll be the meaty kind of dark thing that I feel like being into. Wasn't what I wanted earlier in the week, and I'm glad, because I've been enjoying watching. That's the thing. It's just like, if you're not feeling something, move on. There's a thousand other things you can watch right now that'll hit you where you want it to hit you. So yeah, you just gotta be willing to, like, bail, I think, is when it comes down to. The other thing,
before you go off of Netflix, I did want to ask, did you see that they're being sued?
Well, I'm assuming they're always being sued, but I didn't see what they're being sued about this time.
They're being sued over Black Mirror Bandersnatch.
Oh, right. I watched that too. Did you watch Bandersnatch?
I have not watched it.
Okay.
Anyway, I haven't seen any of the Black Mirror stuff.
I haven't either. That's the only thing I ever watched. I don't think you need to watch Black Mirror to... Your mileage may vary on the movie. It was interesting. But anyway, say what you're going to say about it.
The company that owns the rights to Choose Your Own Adventure
mm-hmm.
is suing them over that movie.
Okay.
Because they feel that infringes on their either copyright or trademark. I'm not sure which. And even to the point where they mention in the movie that it's a choose your own adventure story.
Right.
And so if you're a listener and you're not familiar with this, this is a movie where you actually can choose the path
that you take
as you're going through the movie. And according to the article that I read, Netflix has wanted to do this for a while. They've wanted to do a Choose Your Own Adventure series. They had been in talks with the company that owns the Choose Your Own Adventure rights and could not get the rights to do what they wanted. And talks eventually broke down. And then suddenly Bandersnatch comes up and is a really popular movie on the streaming service. And the Choose Your Own Adventure folks feel that when they couldn't make a deal, Netflix just decided to use it anyway.
Yeah,
and so they're suing them.
You see that kind of thing quite a bit where people can't come to an agreement and then the one party just does, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And fight me in court about it. And I don't know, maybe they'll settle or what have you. But you do see that kind of thing pop up quite a bit. So yeah, that was dark. I know it's a Dark Mirror thing. That's the whole point. But I watched it. I didn't necessarily, it was well done. And I thought it was interesting to actually choose. You know, every 10 minutes or so it comes up when you have a choice and you use your remote and you make it. So it was interesting, but I didn't like love the movie actually of it. I was a little disappointed in the actual movie, but it's an interesting experiment, if nothing else.
Okay. And so what else were you going
to ask? Oh, well, it came up on an unrelated topic. It came up when we were speaking with Giles and Michelle on the last episode, we were, you were talking about, anytime John or Patrick says like, we should do a show about that. Like we should do a show. I've seen, and maybe this is not something that you want to talk about, on air, but I right now you started a podcast. What's it called on Facebook? Like a podcast support group kind of a thing. What's the name of it, of what you started there?
Exactly that.
Is it called the podcast support group or?
Yes.
Okay. And I've been enjoying the posts that you and other people have been putting up there. And I know you've done some posts about, Patreon and wanting to do more with that. And, other things. And I kind of wanted to, and again, maybe this is an off air conversation. So if you don't want to get into it, it's fine. but I've already thrown it out there. But I'm curious where your thoughts are. Cause I know we do this show every week. And I guess my point is that like, I get ideas for other creative things to do, whether they're podcast ideas, like in addition to this thing, or just other creative outlets. And the way that life has been, I will think about those things for a while and then realize like, I don't think I can do that now because I know what it takes to do that kind of thing. And I can't give that time and effort to it. I want to, I want to do this. I look at somebody like a Tom Merritt who's got many podcasts that he does. And I look at you and I, and not to compare ourselves to him, but I know between our various interests and our various friends that we've made over the years, by doing this podcast, that we could have a whole network. And we've talked about that before, because you have certain interests and I have certain interests and we can do other ones. You and I, we can do ones where you do a show with one of your friends and I do a show with one of, somebody that I know. And I get these ideas and I don't even bring them up anymore usually because I'm just like, yeah, but I know I'm not going to be able to do that now. And I'm hoping at some point in life, hopefully sooner than later, there will be time to do that. But I've kind of wanted to see what you were thinking in terms of that. And maybe you don't want to reveal, cause maybe you're in the same boat as me where you got these ideas and you're like, yeah, I don't have the time to do that. But I kind of wanted to see where your head was creatively in regards to podcasting and also maybe in your writing and other things.
Okay.
So, well, cause like I said, I've seen you post about these kinds of things. So maybe you could talk about some of those ideas you've had. I know you've had ideas for things to do with the Patreon. I know you've had ideas for kind of blog posts that you want to write. I know you've had ideas for sort of additional types of podcasts to do. Is anything rising to the surface with any of that, or is it all kind of just you think about it and you're like, eh, not going to do that right now?
Okay, so I'm leaning in.
Okay.
We can have this conversation. So I started a secret group.
Oh, was I not supposed to say anything? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I started a secret group and a closed group, and it's called the Podcaster Support Guild.
Right.
And I invited a very select few people to that group.
Well, now
that
I just guild. Blew it.
And
sorry.
So that I could... No, you're fine.
Yeah.
And I jokingly said that I did that so that I can now call those people my guildies.
Nice.
And because, you know, if you've been listening to this show and to SF Signal long enough, you know that being a guildie has a very special meaning for me because I have some very good friends that I've had for close to 20 years now, basically because of World of Warcraft guilds and us being guildies. And I'm still friends with those folks on social media. We still chat. We still interact quite a bit, and so it's meaningful for me to be able to add people as guildies. So that's number one. Number two, at some point, I get a lot of people asking me questions about podcasting. I get a lot of people asking me questions about Scrivener, which is a separate thing, but I just get a lot of questions regarding podcasting. And I had actually, I've joined a podcasting group that is it's a closed group. You have to petition to be invited, but you can find it if you search it, if you search for groups like this. And I had joined that group to kind of find out what other people were doing, have some conversations. And I really didn't like it.
Hmm.
Everything had to be approved by an admin, and none of my posts with questions ever got approved.
Weird.
But I would see other people's questions that were very similar to mine pop up days, hours, weeks later. So I just wasn't sure what the hell was going on. So I just decided to, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me questions. I've had people say, you know, I wish that we had a more formal way of communicating with other podcasters, X, Y, and Z. And so I started this guild. To the point that I've made a couple times, it's a select few number of people. If you aren't in it, it's nothing personal. I probably just didn't think to add you if you're a podcaster and you're here. I also want to make sure that it's a very civil and complimentary group where we're, you know, we're just kind of, we're having a conversation, but there's no politics. There's no agendas. It's just, let's talk about it.
Right. No, that's why I've liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the basis for the whole thing. It's also part of the stuff that you're talking about that we've wanted to do in the past with networking and, or having a network. You know, I can't do that right now, but I can do this.
Right.
So that's the foundation there. Okay. So that's why that exists. And within that group, I have been posting stuff to generate ideas and to kind of, you know, push some information out there to other folks. And so, other platforms that I think are kind of cool that have tools that would support, the growth of a podcast I put out there, ideas for stuff I put out there, just anything to kind of spur a conversation I've been putting out there. As you mentioned, some other folks have posted some things too that's kind of spurred some conversations. And so that's just kind of the genesis of that. And that's why I wanted to do that. As far as ideas and other podcasts and kind of growing that network that we've talked about in the past, we started down that path a little bit when we brought in contributors to the website.
Well, yeah,
and we had, you know, we had the booze nerd, we had the art nerd, we had the RP nerd or RPG nerd, we had the reviewer nerd, book nerd. We had all these people coming and doing stuff on the site, and that was great, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah, that was a ton of work for you, I know.
I became DiNardo.
Right.
For functional nerds. Absolutely. At the time, I was also being co-Denardo.
Right.
At SF Signal. So it was just a lot of work. And where I go with a lot of these ideas and things that you talked about posts I want to write and different things. And Tom Merritt specifically is a great example. Tom, this is Tom's bread and butter.
Yeah, it's his job. This is where he makes his money.
This is his job. This is his thing now, right? And that's great. He's built up an audience. He's built up a following that will support him in the things that he's doing. You know, he has a couple of different Patreon accounts, mm-hmm. and those fund the projects that he's working on. That's awesome. There's also Scott Johnson and the Frog Pants Network.
Yep.
And, you know, the Frog Pants Network, Tom and Veronica, I believe Sword and Laser are still part of the Frog Pants
yes.
Network.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he has also built up that kind of family of podcasts that all work together and do stuff. And they also have the convention every year.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of models are what I have always liked and thought about. The reason that I don't do any of them is just, you know, personal responsibilities that I have.
Sure.
And what I've said to you in the past and what I've said to other people is if I didn't have to be responsible for anyone other than myself,
mm-hmm.
I would do more.
Oh, absolutely.
I would make that jump.
Yeah.
And there's a great Steve Harvey video on YouTube about, you know, you have to make the jump. You're never going to accomplish anything if you don't take a risk.
Yeah.
And I believe that's true. Right now, the risk outweighs the reward for me. I have to take care of someone who can't take care of themselves.
I'm right there with you.
That is my priority, and that's why I've backed off so much other stuff. I have to be that person and take care of someone else right now. So, and of course, I'm talking about Mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was just me, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'm right there with you, you know, and it's what I mentioned in the last podcast, like, you know, don't botch the job in front of you. And one of your jobs is taking care of your mom. Like, you can't botch that job. That's your job. It's one of your jobs. And not that like family's a job, you know what I mean though. It's that, yeah, you can put all your time and effort and ignore your responsibilities, but that doesn't work in life. And I think I'm in the same boat as you, although it's a different situation, but I'm trying not to botch the job of like taking care of my son and being a good husband and doing my teaching job and everything else. I am hoping that someday when I get these ideas about doing an additional podcast or whatever the case may be, that I'll look at it one day and not immediately shut it down. Meaning I think it's better to be that way because we know a lot of people that are real pie in the sky. Well, I shouldn't say we, because I'm not pointing out anybody individually, but like anything, you know, we're at the point now where any person that you're friends with on Facebook, like in real life, I think has the inkling to do something like this, like what we do or you know, whether it's writing or podcasting or some little business or something idea. And, you know, and what do we see? We see them get on Facebook and they talk a lot about it. And they're like, I'm going to start my own company and I'm going to do this and it's going to be the greatest thing and I'm going to be able to quit my job and all those things that we always hear. And what happens? You know, 2 weeks later, you never hear about it again. And I just know from being in that kind of world for a long time, as you do too, you really start to not, you tend to have a negative opinion of people that talk a lot about what they're going to do, but then don't do it and don't do anything. You tend to just not trust anything they say. So I think that's where I get these thoughts and I realize, I know that's not going to happen. Not right now, at least anyway. So just back off from that idea. But I do get ideas. I do get, it would be cool to do. And I think about podcasting because I know how to do a podcast like we've been doing, or I know how to do this podcast at least anyway. It is a nice thought to think of having a family, a network of shows. And yeah, if you and I had different personal lives, different responsibilities, I know we could do that. I know you could probably do another three podcasts on different subjects. I know I can do another two or three podcasts on different subjects, and it would be interesting and it would be fun and it would be fulfilling. But I know from my point of view, if I was going to do a specific specialty one, either by myself or with another person, I know then my job also becomes doing a lot of what your job is. And I've seen your job and I know what your job entails and I know the time, and I wouldn't be as good at it. So it would take me three times as long as it takes you. And it's like, yeah, it would be fun to do a podcast on playing the bass or whatever. We'll just use that as an example, because that's something I do now. But then I got to record it and I have to edit it and I've got to upload it and I've got to figure out how you do all the tagging and whatnot, and like all that kind of stuff that I've not done in a million years. And I'm like, that is hours of work that I know I'm not going to be able to do every week. So I'm not going to do it. And I don't know, maybe this is a depressing conversation, but it's,
no, it's not. And just so you understand, I mean, like if I was going to go down that road, I would do things a lot differently.
How so?
I would actually structure it more like a company, and we'd probably have an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have someone who it's their job to produce.
Mm.
We'd have a real producer and an audio engineer, and that would be the person who would take all the audio that we record and push out episodes.
Right? Interesting. Yeah.
And I would have someone who would do social media, and almost be like a PR person.
Right.
I would definitely structure it a lot differently. It would be, just different. It just wouldn't be the two of us. There would be a support structure.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I didn't think about getting those kinds of.
Thought about it. I have done a lot in my head, and some in some notes and different things that I've done. I've structured how I want this to work. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the time to be able to dedicate to it, or the resources right now to dedicate it to it, because we would have to do things a lot differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because I was even just thinking about it in terms of additional co-hosts and such for the various shows. I know you've talked about certain people that you would like to do shows with on different topics. And I know I've had people that I've thought, like, you know, not often, but every once in a while we have a guest where you're like, damn, that person was good.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd love to do a show with them about this subject every week or every 2 weeks. That'd be awesome. And you know, that's the thing. It's like, well, yeah, but then we got to do the show. And that's hard. Like that's a lot of work. But you know, look, I don't think either one of us are in a place now where we could do that. But you never know. Things change. Priorities change, responsibilities change, or hope maybe somewhere down the line, or maybe we'll just keep doing this show, and that's what we do in terms of podcasting, and that's cool too. I'm delighted that we've been able to do this show so consistently for so long. It's not something I ever would have thought about, especially back when we started. It's funny that this was like the last thing on my mind when I started all this kind of stuff, and you know, this was sort of a throwaway idea. And of course, this is the one that has lasted 10 years and it still goes. So I'm grateful to have that. And, you know, maybe, yeah, like you said, I look at the Tom Merritts and the Scott Johnsons and the whoever, and it's like, yeah, we could totally be that if we had our lives structured. And I don't mean to say that in a, oh, they're lucky, because they had decisions in life where, like, I know with Tom, you know, he worked for CNET and was a journalist and had a background in radio, and he got in on the ground floor of podcasting, and he had the skills where he was able to build this up, and Tom's great at what he does. And I know Scott Johnson, same deal. I think Scott Johnson, as you mentioned, the Steve Harvey thing, I think he took a pretty big leap at one point, because, you know, I don't think Scott came from a DJ background or a radio background or a journalist background. I think he's an illustrator who started doing podcasts about games at the dawn of podcasting. And at some point made the, I'm going all in on this. And this is a man with a family too. So he,
and I don't know what came first, the podcasting or the webcomics. Because he's had several different webcomics.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the webcomics were first, and then, but I could be wrong about that. And then the podcasting sort of started sometime after that. And I think at one point he made this his job, and I think that was a big risk. He took a big leap because he's got a family. Yeah. And he had, I think, little kids at the time when he did that too. So he took that leap, and good on him. And it worked out for him where this is his job. But that's not where we're at. We're not in a place where we could do that. And, you know, we've seen people do that and fail miserably too. With, I mean, how many people have you met that are just like, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to be a full-time writer, and they don't have an agent or anything. And
well, I've seen very successful authors who quit their day job because they had a book contract and they had lots of book sales. And, you know, 5 years later, they're going back to their day jobs, not because they have any fewer sales. They still did really well, but they just didn't do well enough to support their family. And, and so, you know, it's an unpopular thing to say, but the author is the lowest common denominator in the publishing sphere. They just did that. Scalzi was talking about it. The study on how much authors made in 2018, and it's the lowest amount of money in the last decade or something like that, the average, right? So it's sad. It's very difficult to make money as a writer. And if money is your the meter by which you're judging your success, it's even harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you just look at this, I mean, we would have to do advertising. There would be a lot of it would be a different thing. It would be much more like what Tom does, much more like what Scott Johnson, much more like what even Slice of Sci-Fi and their network does. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a whole network too of podcasts and different things. It just would be a lot different. And when I look at my day, and we've talked about this multiple times, I get up in the morning. You know, I'm working until 6 o'clock. I have to go, all the usual stuff, right? You have to get gas and go to the store and blah, blah, blah. And you come home and you make a little dinner. And then I sit with mom until 10, 30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to engage her and talk to her and just be there with her. And then I either have to edit a podcast, you know, once a week, or I might try to write something, but by then I'm fairly tired.
Yeah.
And just, I'm wiped physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I go, there's no room for me to do more right now. And I've had to get better at saying no to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a better way to be, unfortunately, but you know, I don't know, maybe somewhere down the line, maybe that, but not now.
So the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about, I'm just curious, have you seen the Star Wars fan film Vader Episode One?
No, but I've been hearing about it.
You need to watch it.
Okay, I will.
It's really well done, number one.
Okay.
What's
it called? That's Vader.
Vader Episode One, Shards of the Past. And I guess somehow this has become canon.
What? Oh, I'm going to...
I feel like there was a story that Lucasfilm liked it so much that they've made it canon.
That is weird. Okay, I'm going to...
So I'm not 100% sure on that, but I seem to recall reading that. And that's what triggered me to watch the video. It's a longer video. I wasn't expecting it to be quite as long.
It's 16 minutes long?
Yeah.
Okay. And
and like I said, really well done.
Yeah.
Just
put it in my YouTube queue.
And I feel like it really works well with the Vader comics.
Mm. Yeah, I have to get back into this because I read like the first two graphic, like the, you know, the trade paperback when they combine them, and I hear they're just, it's still good, and it's so I need to get back into those.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Yeah, I will definitely watch it because I've been a little, you know, I've kind of kept my distance from Star Wars a little bit, not to go down a whole Star Wars rabbit hole, but I find myself not as excited about, you know, I saw like a new book series that got announced, like Alphabet Squadron or something, I think it's called. And I'm like, yeah, all right, maybe. Like I don't know. Like, I'm not just, I don't know. No one was more excited about the canon books and everything else than me. And I'm not as excited about them as
interesting.
I was.
That's definitely a topic to talk about.
Yes, maybe we could save that for another thing.
That's a sea shift for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's there was a lot of promise with them, and it is not a knock on any author. I think it's the way that things are set up, and there was. I think some of those books worked really well. And I feel like a lot of them are just, you know, hey, you know these characters and they're on an adventure. and again, it comes back to, yes, but I still haven't read the Robert Jordan books and I still haven't read the Malazan books. And I still haven't like finished all these series that I started where there's like real stakes and really interesting worlds. And I still haven't done all those. And if I'm going to spend time reading a book, I think I'd rather read one of those than a Star Wars book that isn't going to have high stakes and is just going to be, you know, if it's an audiobook, you know, 10 hours of an adventure, and that's fine. And I'm sure I'm going to be in the mood for that sometimes. And I will probably still keep up with a lot of them, but maybe I won't right away. It might not be the, ooh, I'm definitely buying that one and reading that right away. It might be pushed off to the back burner. And who knows, 3 months from now, I might be total Star Wars said, like, look, Star Wars Resistance is out there. There is a half a season of a Star Wars animated show that I have not watched 1 minute of yet. Mm-hmm. I will. I'll watch it eventually and I'll probably like it. But, you know, because I'd have to buy the series, I might wait till the whole series airs. I know the second part of the season is either out now or coming out very soon. And maybe if I, because I've been hearing like it's fine, you know, that's basically what I've been hearing about it. It's that it's fine, and that's the way Rebels was in the beginning too. And so I'm sure I'll watch it, but maybe I'll wait till the whole season airs and kind of see what people think. And my guess is that it'll probably show up on that Disney streaming service. So maybe I'll just wait till that service starts, and then I'll pay for the service and just watch it then. You know, so who knows? I don't know. But so yeah, I'm a little. I don't want to say down on Star Wars. I'm just not as enthusiastic about it as I have been. So
well, that's interesting because, you know, Star Trek Discovery Season 2 is going on right now on CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. I finally got Season 1 on Amazon Prime. Mm. I bought it.
Okay.
So it's not part of Prime. You can't just stream it for free.
Yeah, I just
said, oh, I can, you know, now I don't have to go to CBS All Access, mm-hmm. which is one of my major problems. I don't want to go to CBS All Access.
Sure.
I want to use a platform that I actually fucking use.
Mm-hmm.
So I just bought it.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I had seen the first 4 or 5 episodes
right.
previously on a free trial.
Uh-huh.
Now I have them all and I'm bored out of my mind with them.
Oh, interesting.
And I had posted that on Facebook and someone came up and said, well, you know, it really gets good the further into the season you go. And I replied, well, I'm on episode 10. And they said, oh.
Well, then it's, you just don't like it.
And it's probably, yeah. And I don't know what it is about it that is just.
Just don't work for you.
It's just, yeah, I don't. It's very, let's see. It's. Work on any episode with the Klingons because
mm-hmm.
you have to read all the subtitles
because
all the Klingons are only speaking Klingon.
Interesting.
So that's work. And then it feels more tropey than any previous Star Trek has ever been. It just feels like they are taking every Trek trope that was ever done and tossing in as many of them in an episode as possible.
Interesting.
So I think that combination is what's kind of not engaging with me. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it. Maybe I'm just in a mood and it's not the right mood to watch it, but that's where I'm at.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, as we said, there's many other things we can watch. We don't have to watch Star Wars and Star Trek if we don't feel like it. So there you go.
No, but we have to talk about it so we bore Gail.
That's true. That's one of our you know, upcoming you know, additional podcasts. Boring Gail Carriger with Patrick and John.
It would be called Gail, this Star Wars podcast is for you.
Yes. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us this week. I know we were a little all over the place, but I think that's okay. I think it's kind of good to have those insights on some stuff. Hope you enjoyed it. For those of us you who back us, thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate it. If you're listening and you don't back us, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. And Patrick, what do you want to leave people with?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, thanks again for everything you do. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Sunspot.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.